Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Waldo Baptist Church. My name is Nate Martin. It is a joy to see all of you. It is the Lord's Day when we gather to worship God in the name of Jesus Christ by the Spirit, to see fellowship with one another. I'm just really grateful I didn't say welcome to Herman Baptist Church. So that's a win. I'm one for one, and so we'll see how it goes. I have a few announcements. I'll pray, and then I will allow Aaron to lead us in worship. We're grateful that on October 27th, that's a Sunday, we're going to have the annual fall festival. If you'd like to participate in the Trunk or Treat, you can sign up at the welcome desk as soon as possible. I know Brother David could talk to you more about that. Then there's the annual Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Campaign. It begins today. You can pick up your shoeboxes, fill it up, make a donation to help with youth fill boxes. Information is in the bulletin or in the lobby, and I'm sure Missy can help you with more information about that. And then Caleb, I want you to know that Gen Now students and parents, you can check out the app for more info on our upcoming camping trip in November and also to register for the Fuge Camp for 2025. And Caleb will help you with more info about that. So Fall Festival should be a wonderful time. Come, have some sweet fellowship, Operation Christmas Child, and students and parents, check out the app for the upcoming camping trip and register for Fuge. Let's pray together, and then we'll lift up our voices in song. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have grateful hearts because you are God and you are good. And we were far from you. You brought us near through the blood of Christ. You made us your own. And now we gather on the Lord's Day to lift up our eyes to you, to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus, to sing and to give our whole being to worshiping you. For you have saved us and you have made us your own. So let us lift our voices and then leave this place greater conformed to Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing this morning. This is Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are our God. And our God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what we're going to sing about, the faithfulness of God through all generations. Let's lift up our voices together. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever. There is a that echoes on eternal shores, with all believers who have come before. Jesus Christ forevermore. Your love is amazing grace, never fails. Are the saving one. You reached from the heavens, hope of the nations. You are the saving one. There is. The morning star, Jesus Christ. Your love is amazing grace, never fails me. You are the saving one. You reach from the heavens, hope of the nation. Are the saving one. You are the saving one. The rivers clap their hands, the mountains bow their heads, as all creation cries, your praise will never end. And this is all for you. Saving one, you reached from the heavens, hope of the nations. You are the saving one. You are the saving one. There is a that echoes on eternal shores, that all of heaven and the earth adore. Jesus Christ forevermore. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God. You reign forever. Our hope, our strong on wings like eagles. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
If I could have our ushers join us up to take our offering, you may be seated. Would you bless our offering?
Yes, sir. Lord, come to you now. We, as that song said, God, we thank you so much. You're an everlasting God. Lord, you love us. You bless us, even though we don't deserve it. Thank you so much, God, for this opportunity to come this morning and hear your word, God, fellowship. Thank you, Brother Nate, and his family being here, Lord. Thank you, Trey. I pray you bless his family, Lord. Lord, just help us forget about the world and lunch and everything else that's going on and just think about your word and think about Jesus Christ this morning, God. We lift up this offering to you, Lord, and ask you to bless it. Thank you for the opportunity to give. God, thank you for, again, your love and your mercy you have on us. We ask all this through Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. It's surely good to see you this morning. You know, those are some wonderful songs we were singing. Wow, I like that. Woo, inspires me for sure. Well, you know, I told Chuck that I wanted to say just a little bit before I sang this morning. You know, I had intended to sing a different song entirely than the one that I'm doing. I had picked one out that my sister had told me about, and she wanted me to learn it, and I did, and I practiced on that thing, and I thought I had it down pretty good, to tell you the truth. I really did. Anyway, had it in my CD player and what have you, and you know that thing is holding it hostage right now as we speak. Yep. Never seen anything like it. So I thought that, I really thought about it. I thought, well, you know, God must not be wanting me to sing that song today. Because if you all know of anybody that fixes those things, I've got a CD changer that's holding six of them hostage. But anyway, but this particular song went so well with the message this morning. And it went so well with your lesson this morning, Jack. I was just absolutely amazed how it did. Because it talks about our walk and how difficult that our walk can be sometimes. It really is. But you know, one of these days, our footsteps are going to end at the throne. And we're going to be able to run and jump and do all those things that we can't do here. We won't have any worries at all. Think about all those people in Florida and the other states that were hit by those hurricanes, what they're going through right now, and how blessed we are. My footsteps will end at the throne. I turn that music up, Chuck. Barely can hear it. There you go. Today, something happened that caused my heart to tremble. When I stopped just to rest along my way, I sat down beside a man who was crippled. It broke my heart, and I just had to say, it's hard now, but someday you're gonna run all over heaven, up and down the streets of pure gold. He looked down and said, know when these feet start walking, they'll be headed straight to the throne. Someday I'll reach my final home. The cares of this life will all be gone. No trials, no heartaches, they're my journey. My footsteps will end at the throne. Often we face trials and temptations and problems we can't seem to win. But we got to stand fast and hold to the promise that someday this journey will end. I know when my life gets rough and rocky, I'm gonna keep pressing on. For Jesus is waiting to welcome me home, and my footsteps will end at the throne. Someday I'll reach my final home. The cares of this life will all be heartaches, there my journey will be o'er, and my footsteps will end at the throne, and my footsteps will end at God's
throne. Well, good morning, family. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, I'll make your way to Hebrews 13. Thank you, Bubba. Thank you, Aaron, for leading us so faithfully and well. And as you're turning to Hebrews 13, I just want to take a moment to say thank you. I had originally planned to say thank you to every single person who had been such a blessing to us over the past month, and the list is now so long. All I can say with great sincerity and gratitude is thank you. Thank you for loving my family. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for being so hospitable. Thank you for cleaning my cabinets and unloading my furniture. Thank you to the deacons and to the staff for just how gracious and welcoming they've been to me. As excited as I am to be here, I must confess, it was quite an ordeal to move your wife and four young children all the way across the country. That was a big deal. Big decision for us to make. And you guys have made us feel like family. You made us feel like home. And that's a big deal. So thank you for that. I do want to give you some insight into where we are going before we launch into Hebrews 13 this morning. Next week, we will kick off kind of a brief series. Just looking at some fundamental things that we need to talk about as a church. We'll see the church's great confession, looking at Peter's confession that he is the Christ, Jesus is the Christ. We'll look at the church's great commandment, love God, love neighbor, and the church's great commission to make disciples of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. This is not new to you. You know this well. I will just sleep better if you hear it from me. So that's how it's going to go. We'll start there. We'll be in Philippians to the end of February, and then we'll do a series on the ordinary means of grace throughout the month of March. But now, this morning, I want to direct your attention to Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Now, I will tell you, because of the brevity of the text and me still kind of adjusting, this sermon's a little shorter than normal. Do not get used to that. We are new. We're adjusting. And I'll hit my stride very soon, okay? Do not get used to this. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we gather on this Lord's Day, not to hear reflections by me, but to encounter the living God through the living Word of God. What a grace it is to gather with God's people and to have the assurance that we can hear your voice. We can hear the voice of the risen Jesus through your inspired and inerrant Word. And that's what we seek to do this morning. God, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, receptive hearts to your Word. God, let us respond to the Word with the obedience of faith. God, be with me. Allow me to be clear and faithful. Not to put any stumbling block before these dear people. Allow me just simply to serve them well. Just to serve them well and to shepherd their hearts to see Jesus Christ. God, we pray that our eyes would see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. As we fix our eyes on Jesus, you would transform us by your Spirit to be greater conformed to Jesus. God, would you exalt your name? Would you edify your church? Would you evangelize all those who are far from you? In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 One of the things I was immediately interested in after accepting the call was the church's history. I began to read the timeline on the website, to watch the videos that were available. I learned the church was founded in 1850 in Pope County. I learned how damage from a cyclone led to the church moving closer to where we currently are. I learned how 14 people were gloriously saved and baptized under revival in 1932 and became core members for what we know as Waldo Baptist Church. I learned the first full-time pastor was hired in 1973. I learned all kinds of things. But what stuck with me most, after all the reading and all the watching, was the great consistency which what so many of you have experienced over the past several decades. Jack faithfully served as a senior pastor for 34 years. He was followed by 13 years of faithful pastoral ministry by Brother Trad, who was known by so many of you already because he served in a variety of roles before becoming the senior pastor. There's some of you in this room who have only known Brother Jack or Brother Trad as your pastor. There are others of you who have only known Brother Trad as your senior pastor. It's the only one you've ever known. You've experienced, by God's grace, great consistency. And now we enter a season of change and transition. And within a week, you have a young pastor that you hardly know. That's quite a change. So I want you to hear me say this. I stand here grateful. I am grateful for the faithful labors of Brother Jack and Brother Trad. I rejoice in all the ways that God has used them to serve this church and you individually. I rejoice in all the good, edifying things that God has done in your individual lives through these brothers. And it is not lost on me at all that so much of the good I'll get to experience and celebrate is in due part to their faithfulness and labor and work. And I also want you to hear me say this. It is not your responsibility to muster up trust for me in such a short time. It is my responsibility to earn trust over time with godly character, competence, and consistency. That's my responsibility. That one's on me. So as I've thought about this, the consistency you have experienced and the changing circumstances we now find ourselves in, I was drawn to Hebrews 13:7-8. The recipients of the letter find themselves in a little bit of a season of discouragement, and they're also vulnerable to the dangers of strange teachings that aren't consistent with the gospel. And so to encourage these saints to remain faithful, the author does a number of things in Hebrews 13, but he does two particular things in verses 7 and 8. He calls them to remember the leaders who preached the word of God to them. And in a rather abrupt way, reminds them that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So as we enter this season of transition, I want to allow these two verses to speak to us, to encourage us to remain faithful to Christ. And here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that God's people can remain encouraged through changing circumstances because the Christ we confess never changes. God's people can remain encouraged through changing circumstances because the Christ we confess never changes. And I want to do this in two ways. I want to call you to remember, and I want to call you to remain. I want to call you to remember because circumstances have changed, and I want to call you to remain because Christ never changes. Amen. Look with me, beloved, at verse 7. And we're going to see the call to remember because circumstances have changed. What is it that the author of Hebrews calls us to remember? Look with me at verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, the call for God's people to remember is frequent and often in the Bible. So, for example, God's people were often called to remember their slavery in Egypt and how God had delivered them by his hand. Exodus 13, verse 3. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. The entire Jewish calendar was set up largely to remember God's acts of salvation, of provision, of faithfulness. The people of God are to be a people who remember. And this theme continues in the New Testament with our Lord Jesus transforming Passover into the Lord's Supper, which we partake, according to the Gospel of Luke, in remembrance of him. Luke 23, verse 19. And each time we take the bread and we break it, each time we take the cup and we drink it, we remember the body of Christ given for us on the cross. We remember the blood of Christ shed for us to bring about the new covenant. The people of God are to be a people who remember. Remember. Now, why is this important? Why am I, in kind of a painstaking way, telling you how much we're to be a people who remember? Because there are few things more detrimental to our spiritual health than forgetfulness. Psalm 106 is a great example of this. In Psalm 106, the psalmist surveys Israel's sin and rebellion and roots that sin and rebellion in forgetfulness. Let me give you an example. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea. Verses 20 and 21. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. Think about that just for a moment. You've just come out of Egypt, you passed through the Red Sea, and the first thing that you do is worship an ox that eats grass, and they forget their God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Beloved, when we neglect to consider God's past faithfulness, God's past provision, God's past grace, God's past work in our lives, we run the risk of forgetting what it means to trust Him in the present. Amen. So when we forget God's past faithfulness, past provision, past grace, past work, we run the risk of forgetting what it means to trust Him in the present. The people of God are to be people who remember. So when we open Hebrews 13 and we get to verse 7 and we hear the call to remember, we need to pay close attention. What is it that God wants me to remember? I'm to remember what? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Now, I need to address something that's slightly awkward about the context of Hebrews 13, because here in a moment I'm going to call you to reflect on the ministries of Brother Jack and Brother Trad. In the context of Hebrews 13, these leaders have now passed away. And the last time I checked, Brother Jack and Brother Trad are still alive. And I'm not trying to promote them to glory too soon. I'm just simply saying that we can look at Hebrews 13 and step back. And we can see the entirety of their ministry, which was faithful from beginning to end. And we can learn something about that. We can remember it. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. The idea in Hebrews 13 is that these people can now see the totality of their leaders' lives. They're now dead, they're now in heaven with Christ, and they've received their inheritance, and they're to think about the outcome of their way of life, think about their faith centered on Christ, and they're to follow that example. This remembrance is not a call to sentiment. It's not a call to nostalgia. It's not a call to the good old days. The call to remember is a remembrance that leads to action. It's a remembrance that fuels further faithfulness to Christ as they follow the faithful examples of their leaders. We can look at 34 faithful years. We can look at 13 plus faithful years, and we can remember, consider, and imitate. And beloved, in this season of transition, you should remember these brothers' examples. You should reflect on the gospel they preached. You should remember their presence and prayers for you. And most of all, you should remember that their faith was not in themselves, but it was in Jesus Christ, who saved them, and who was the subject of all of their preaching. And that last part is really important. Amen. The call to remember our leaders is modified by a relative clause. Okay, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. So as you remember your leaders, naturally, you remember the word they preached, and the word on focus here is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the word. That is the word of God that we are to remember. Amen. The author of Hebrews is calling them to remember their leaders, and so remember the gospel of Jesus that gave birth to their faith. To remember the gospel of Jesus that has nurtured their faith. To remember the gospel of Jesus that can sustain their faith until Christ returns to judge the living and the dead. You see what's happening here? The leaders are now gone, but the gospel's work in them remains. The leaders are no longer, but the gospel is still at work within them. The gospel continues to mold, shape, and conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. A call to remember our leaders is a call to remember the gospel which is still at work within you. Now, I don't want to speak for Brother Jack. I don't want to speak for Brother Trad. But I am rather confident that a good way to remember them is to ensure that the gospel of Jesus remains at the center of Waldo's worship and at the center of Waldo's ministry. A good way to remember these brothers in the spirit of Hebrews 13 is to ensure that the gospel is at the center of your Christian life. There are a lot of things that we can lose A lot of things that can go away. A lot of things that can't be maintained. And we can still be a healthy church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me well. If we lose and compromise the gospel, we will cease to be a church in any meaningful sense. It's been noted by D.E. Carson and many after him that it only takes a generation or two to lose the gospel. Just think about it this way. One generation may receive and believe the gospel. The next begins to assume it. And the third confuses it and loses it. Beloved, the gospel must never be assumed. It must always be remembered, rehearsed, reflected, cherished, revered. We must reflect on the gospel every day and especially on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
And so toward that end, let's practice remembering rather than simply assuming. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of what God has done in Jesus Christ. It is the good news that Jesus Christ is now King, and because of his perfect life, sacrificial death on the cross, resurrection, and ascension, salvation is now available for all who turn away from their sin and trust in Christ. And the gospel promises that all who turn to Christ in faith will have their sins forgiven, be reconciled to God, and inherit eternal life. And that is really good news. And it's good news because all of humanity, everyone, is under God's just condemnation and wrath because of sin. No one's exempt. But in God's great love, he gives his Son so that he might die the death we rightly deserve, so that now, through faith, we have life through his death. The New Testament gives us a wonderful summary of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, in which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. This is the gospel of God. It is his amen to all of his promises in the Bible. And at its center is the person and work of Jesus Christ who dies for sinners.
Amen.
This is the word of God the author of Hebrews is calling us to remember. This is the word of God he's calling these saints to remember. It is the fuel that keeps us going. We need the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ at the center of all that we do. So one thing that we have to make sure we do is make sure concerns on the edges, concerns on the margins, on the periphery, don't begin to make their way to the center. So I've got bad news for you. I'm going to be one of the most stubborn human beings in your life. Because you're going to gather on the Lord's Day, and you've been listening to endless hours of talk radio or news, and there's all these concerns out here. And every week, consistent as ever, Christ has come. Christ has died. He will come again, judge the living and the dead. Christ has come. Christ has died. He has risen. He will come again, judge the living and the dead. I will put Christ before you over and over and over and over. That's what we do when we gather on the Lord's Day. Consistently thinking, reflecting, and worshiping Jesus Christ. We are to remember the leaders who spoke the word of God to us. And so we remember the gospel. The people of God are to be people who remember. Our circumstances have changed. The pastor you've known and loved, and I praise God. But by the way, I was so blessed just watching you all love and dote on Trad as he was going to retirement. Such an encouragement. You lose a pastor that you love, that you care for, that you've lived life with, and now you're stuck with me, a young 35-year-old kid who knows nothing and who talks fast. God bless all of you, okay?
Amen.
So remember these brothers. Remember the word they spoke to you. Remember the gospel. And in due season, in due time, you'll learn my voice as it comes. If I can earn the trust the right way, then we'll seek green pastures and still waters together. Okay?
Amen.
Remember. Now we've heard the call to remember. Let's hear the call to remain. Look with me at verse 8. I want to hear you to remain because Christ never changes. Remain because Christ never changes. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This comes almost kind of abruptly in the text. Like he's talking about remembering, and all of a sudden Jesus is the same. He's yesterday, today, and forever. But remember, they're to remember the word that was preached to them. Who's the center of that word? Jesus Christ. The way that I'm using remain here is not so much, I hope that you remain with us at Waldo, although I hope that's true. When I use the word remain here, I mean like remain faithful to Christ. Remain faithful to Jesus. I'm using the word remain kind of throughout the broader context of Hebrews. Think about Hebrews 4. Since then we have a great high priest who's passed through the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast. Let us hold fast to our confession. So remain, I'm using it in the way that author of Hebrews uses hold fast. Hold fast to Jesus. Run your race well and faithful. Hold fast to your confession. This is exactly what the author of Hebrews is doing in Hebrews 13. So, for example, in verse 9, we are warned about diverse and strange teachings. Look at me at verse 9. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. So there's a strange teaching we're to avoid. We're to be strengthened by grace, not by all this distracting things, all the distracting stuff. And then in verses 15 and 16, we're instructed how to remain faithful to Christ. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So what's the concern of Hebrews 13? The concern of Hebrews 13 is to remain faithful to Jesus. Remain faithful to your confession. Watch your life, watch your doctrine, and the motivation for doing that is because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ never changes. Amen. Now, there is one sense in which this language of yesterday, today, and forever is highlighting what means the priesthood of Jesus, that he's serving as our great high priest. Yesterday, he offered his body as a sacrifice for sin, complete and perfect. Sin is paid for. Today, he intercedes on our behalf with the right hand of the Father. And then he is a priest forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. But then there's another way that this language is speaking of Jesus, and that is to take language reserved for God and apply it directly to Jesus. To take language reserved for God and apply it directly to Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews has done this in a number of ways already, but I want to point out one to you. In chapter 1, the author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 102. Why is that important? Because in Psalm 102, verse 27, God is referred to as the Creator, who is distinct from creation. And what the author of Hebrews does is apply that language to Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to how the similarity of that language to what we just saw in verse 8. So this is Psalm 102. That's quoted in Hebrews 1. Listen to the similarity of language in verse 8. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe. They will all pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, the author is talking about Jesus in the same way the Bible talks about Yahweh, about God. Jesus is divine. He is God in human flesh. And the Bible tells us that God does not change. His being is perfect. His will is perfect. His ways are perfect. They cannot and they do not change. You know, in us there is a great potential. Some of us more than others, but there's great potential for good or bad. We can get better or we can get worse. In God, there is no potentiality. He is perfect. He can't grow better. He can't get worse. He is perfect in every way. He cannot be more loving today than he was yesterday because he is love. He can't be more holy today than he was yesterday because he is holy, holy, holy. God is glorious in all of his perfection. Amen. And the Bible repeats this time and time again. Malachi verse chapter 3, verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. You can't get any clearer than that. For I, the Lord, do not change. Or James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And so it is with his Son. The Son never changes. He is gloriously perfect. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, beloved, there is much in your life that can and will change, and not all of it will be good. There are life circumstances that will disappoint you. There are people that will disappoint you. Life will change. There's so much beyond our grasp and control. But this I know, and this you should rest assured, no matter what changes, no matter what we can't control, no matter what affects us, Jesus Christ remains and will always be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Beloved, the Christ that saved you and sanctified you by the Spirit is the same Christ that reigns right now, who still speaks through his word right now, who still intercedes for you right now. He's the same Christ who will complete the good work he began in you. He's the same Christ who will never leave you or forsake you. He's the same Christ that has gone to prepare a place for you and will come to bring you where he is. And here is the great comfort of Christ never changing. So let's kind of build on the logic just for a moment. So by applying the language, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible takes language reserved for God, applies it to Jesus, he is divine. Because he is divine, he never changes. And because he never changes, listen to me, he is forever faithful. Forever faithful. There is not a promise that he breaks. There's not a promise he doesn't fulfill. There's not a word that about him that you cannot trust. He is forever and always faithful. So we think about 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. This saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Jesus Christ remains and is forever faithful. He keeps all of his promises. His ways are perfect. They don't change. He remains Jesus for you now and forever. Dear friends, there is much that is changing. The pastor you have known is no longer here. He was wonderful and faithful and godly and served you well. And that's hard. It's hard to transition. It's hard to transition and have someone that you don't know begin to speak authoritatively from the word at this spot. That's a hard thing to do. But as you wait, I want you to remember. I want you to remember the leaders who spoke the word of God to you. I want you to remember the gospel of Jesus that gave birth to your faith and has nurtured your faith to this very day. I want you to remember most of all what is most constant in your life. Remember Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Beloved, in a few moments, Aaron's going to come and lead us in worship. I want to call you to respond in a couple of different ways. As you think about the call to remember and the call to remain, as you sing, I want you to reflect deeply on the gospel. The gospel that's been preached to you year after year and Sunday after Sunday, and just with great gratitude in your heart, be thankful. Be thankful that you have heard the gospel week in and week out. And then I want you to respond by turning your eyes to Jesus and praise him that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Direct your gaze toward him, because that's how we change. We change and become more Christ-like by fixing our eyes on Jesus and never taking our eyes away from him. And I have a third thing I want to say. If you're here this morning and so much of what I said just has not resonated with you, like, yeah, I've been in church in and out my whole life, but I don't know this Jesus that you talked about. I don't know what it means for him to live a perfect life, to die a sacrificial death on the cross, to be raised from the dead, to be ascended at the right hand of the Father. I don't know what repentance means or what faith means. But I just want to know. I'm interested in this Jesus, and I want to know more about him. Come, let us tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, let us tell you about the forgiveness available in the gospel. Come, let us tell us how you can respond and follow Jesus for the rest of your days. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have grateful hearts because your word is good, it is true, it is trustworthy, and it reveals the gospel of Jesus Christ, and at the center of that gospel is your Son, glorious and radiant, never changing, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one we can forever trust, who will never let us down, who we can always look to. Amidst all the changing circumstances, Christ never changes. And so, God, I just want to pray that just this morning, in some small way, I could serve these sweet people to lift their eyes to Christ, to remember the faithfulness of God in the past, and the assurance that you will be faithful to us in the future. God, if there are any in the room that don't know you, God, I pray by your Spirit, you would draw them through the gospel. You would open up their eyes to see the glory of Jesus. They would turn away from their sin, trust in Christ, and be yours forevermore. And God, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.